Grace, you, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is from our gospel lesson from John 14, specifically verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is our text. Happy Mother's Day to all of you to whom that applies. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us outside of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, is our moms. I mean, not only do they give birth to us, but they love us unconditionally, and they raise us in the way that we should be raised. They work tirelessly for us, without concern for themselves, and they spend countless hours worrying about us, where we're at, why we're not home yet. Moms are a special breed of people who deserve more than one day a year for recognition. And I would guess that if you were to describe a mom's job or a mom's vision in a few words, it would be that mom's goal was to show her children the way. And she shows her children the way, not with just her words, do this, do that, but with her tireless actions and everything that she does. You know, I have very vivid memories of our family taking long car trips from Detroit out to Vermont, where my mom was from. All four of us kids would be in the back seat, or maybe my youngest sister might have been sitting up in front between mom and dad. No seat belts. And mom would be in the passenger seat with the map. And dad, of course, would be doing the driving, because that's the way we did it back in the day. We got to where we were going using maps. You know, I was going to pull my map out of the car, but it's gotten to the point where I don't even have a map in my car anymore. Because today, we get where we're going by using GPS. I'm not even sure if my children know how to use a map. Don't get me wrong, I love my GPS, but I use it all the time. I used it yesterday going back and forth between Racine and Kenosha. But if you think about it, there's a certain mystery about using a GPS that you don't have with a map. With a map, you can see the whole entire place that you are driving, point by point, turn by turn. But with a GPS, there's an element of trust that comes in there, because you only see the directions of where you're going to the next turn. And for a map guy, that's a little bit worrisome. But whether you use a map or whether you use the GPS, you are using something to know the way. Knowing the way doesn't come naturally. Learning is involved. Faith is involved. Trust is involved, whether you use a map or GPS. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus says to his disciples, "You know the way to where I am going." There's a lot bundled in that short little statement. There's a lot of meaning that statement comes with. It comes in the context of where that text is taking place. If you look back to John chapter 13, at the beginning of the chapter, what you'll see is the heading that Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. And what that tells you is that the events of John 13 and 14 take place on Maundy Thursday, the night when Jesus was betrayed. So that tells us, where is Jesus going? Well, Jesus is going to the cross. Jesus is going to the grave. Jesus is going to the empty tomb. And ultimately, Jesus is going to the Father. And so it's no wonder that Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? You see, Judas had already left. He had left to go get the guards and lead them out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Thomas has no idea that Jesus is going to be arrested that night, even though Jesus had told them time after time after time. Matter of fact, in the last verse of chapter 13, the verse preceding our text for today, Jesus tells Peter, truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. They just didn't get it. They just didn't understand. They had no clue that Jesus himself was the way, the truth, and the life. And we see that confusion continue in Philip's request. Philip says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Really, Philip? Don't you know who Jesus is? You've only been following him for 3 years now. Don't you know that the Father is in Jesus and Jesus in the Father? Don't you remember Jesus saying, the Father and I are one? The disciples just don't understand. And they won't understand until Jesus leaves and goes to his Father and sends his Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You see, that's the answer. That Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. Then they'll understand. But right here, on this night, on the night when Jesus would be arrested and tried by the Sanhedrin, the disciples just don't have a clue. And the disciples aren't the only ones that don't have a clue. Think about it. The world would be a much better place if everyone knew that Jesus was the way. And on a personal level, our lives would be so much better if we lived each moment thinking that Jesus is the way. Because Jesus is the way, not us. Jesus is the way, not me. Jesus makes the rules, not us. Jesus shows us how to get to heaven, and nobody else does. So what all that means is that following God's commands would be so much easier if we just understood that Jesus is the way. He's the boss. He gets to make the rules. He gets to decide what's right and wrong. It is faith in Jesus and no one else that gets us into heaven. Jesus is the way. And what all this means is that getting to heaven would be so much easier if we knew that one simple fact, Jesus is the way. What I do doesn't matter. What I believe is everything. And I don't get to pick and choose what I believe because Jesus tells me what to believe in the Bible. I can't earn my way into heaven because Jesus is the way. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are my way into heaven. And you know the beautiful part about all of that? Jesus gives us that faith on a silver platter. Jesus gives us that trust as he pays for our sins, as he lives that perfect life as our substitute. Jesus is the way. You know, the most telling thing about this text and the most telling thing about our beautiful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that this text takes place on the night of his arrest and betrayal. And you know what's missing from this text? Read through that text very, very carefully, and you will see that there is not one word in this text that suggests that Jesus is concerned for himself. And yet every single word in this text shows that Jesus is concerned for his disciples. He wants them to know that he is the way. He wants them to know the Father. I mean, just a few hours after this text takes place, Jesus will be grabbed up by evil men. He will be dragged into an illegal court. He will be slapped and humiliated. He will be beaten and whipped. He will be nailed to his tree. And yet his concern in the hours prior to all that activity is only for his disciples. So it should come as no surprise that Jesus, while he's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, is also concerned about you. So that when life gets totally out of control, Jesus is the way. And when you are depressed and getting out of bed seems like a total miraculous endeavor, Jesus is the way. When you feel like no one loves you and you feel totally alone on the face of the earth, Jesus is the way. And when you are sick and in the hospital and on the verge of death, Jesus is the way. No matter what situation you find yourself in life, Jesus is the way. In his name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.